morning, we hear from the book of Acts, an account of the early church. The apostle Paul is in Athens, where he is disturbed by the number of idols and statues he sees to the various Greek gods and goddesses. The authorities think he is representing another god and take him into custody and interrogate him at Mars Hill, known as the Areopagus. Let us imagine that we are joining as spectators in the crowd, hearing his defense and what he has to say about God's presence in our lives. Paul stood in the middle of the council on Mars Hill and said, "People of Athens, I see you are very religious in every way. As I was walking through town and carefully observing your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What you worship as unknown, I now proclaim to you. God, who made the world and everything in it, is Lord of heaven and earth. God doesn't live in temples made with human hands, nor is God served by human hands, as though God needed something, since God is the one who gives life, breath, and everything else. From one person, God created every human nation to live on the whole earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their lands. God made the nations so they would seek God, perhaps even reach out to God and find God. In fact, God isn't far away from any of us. In God, we live, move, and exist. As some of your own poets said, we are God's offspring." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God in spirit, for the word of God among us. Thanks be to God.
How many of you, this is your first Sunday in summer worship thus far? Okay, huh? Good, good, we're glad you're here. So we have a summer theme of summer spaces, sacred places, sacred moments. And 2 weeks ago we heard from Peter, who talked about creating sacred space in the classroom and in therapeutic situations. Last week we heard from Dana, who just joined the church this past year, but it's been with us 3 years, and she spoke about finding the moments of contentment as sacred places. And we're thrilled today to have Ricardo come and speak to us about his relationship with the divine out in nature, which also relates to what he does professionally. He's actually brought some images for us, so we're grateful for that. It's a beautiful talk. Thank you, Ricardo, for being here today for our sacred spaces and moments. Let's give him a welcome.
Thank you, Kent. Thank you. Good morning. So my talk initially was called Sacred Spaces, but really it's Sacred Landscapes. Let's see, here we go. So while sacred spaces are usually associated with the divine or holy places, there are typically places intended to be treated with care and respect. For some baseball fans, Fenway Park is a sacred space. For others, Symphony Hall, the Boston Public Library Reading Room, or more to this point of this talk, Walden Pond. Where is your sacred space? Has that changed over time? What are the qualities of sacred space? What do they offer? A connection to God, spirituality, or a higher power? Place of calm or healing, a sense of belonging or wholeness within the universe. Traditionally, sacred spaces were often churches or places of worship offering a possible connection to the divine and the transcendent. From today's scripture reading, Acts 17, 22 to 28, God who made the world and everything in it is Lord of heaven and earth. God doesn't live in temples made with human hands, nor is God served by human hands, as though God needed something, since God is the one who gives life, breath, and everything else. This passage resonates with me as a landscape architect, for sacred spaces are places that are rooted within the environment, the landscape, and culture. Since childhood, I was drawn to flowers and plants. In elementary school in East Boston, I was sent home to sell seed packets, and I became obsessed with the purple and green zinnias, which I grew that year. If somebody didn't have a clue I was gay, I don't know what is. As a teenager, it got a little kinkier. I was fascinated by the roses in our yard in Rosendale, and the voracious Japanese beetles caught my fancy. I was fascinated by the unspeakable things Japanese beetles did to roses, and came back as a young rosarian, bringing home a silver bowl at a rose show. Thanks to my wise mother's suggestion, she said, "Why don't you look to the Arnold Arboretum?" which became my sacred space. I was volunteering there when I was 13 and became one of Harvard's youngest employees at the age of 14. To this day, I have friendships from that time in the mid-70s, and I still am quite fond of those relationships. It was not far from the Arnold that I discovered another sacred space, which is the epitome of a sacred landscape. It's the rural cemetery or landscape cemetery. Here in Boston, we have two fine examples of this art form, Mount Auburn Cemetery in Cambridge and Forest Hill Cemetery in Jamaica Plain. So let's consider. In the Christian West, the churchyard was always a sacred and typically somber space. Puritan churchyards of New England were often treeless spaces, not the charming shady dells we see today. But the rise of the rural cemetery movement, a precursor of our national parks movement that brought the Emerald Necklace to us, dates from the late 18th century Paris. As Paris grew, unhygienic due to poor sanitation standards, so when you get a utility bill from the Water and Sewer Commission, you should be happy, because they are saving your life. Fears of disease emanating from churchyards through a word called miasmas, which is a popular 19th century term, grew and led to the first rural cemetery, Père Lachaise, which was established then in the outskirts of Paris. Today, some of its permanent residents include Chopin, Proust, Oscar Wilde, and even Jim Morrison. Similarly, in the early 19th century Boston, there were several plagues of yellow fever and outbreaks, which led to the establishment of Mount Auburn as America's first rural cemetery in 1831. So for me, Mount Auburn is a sacred space that offers a connection with aesthetics and awe, which are often key features of a sacred space. Upon further consideration, the sacred space, for me, offers a sense of the beautiful, the extraordinary, and the magical. So let's visit some landscapes and get in touch with the feeling they evoke in our connection to the divine and mystical. Next slide. Close your eyes. To begin, let's walk down a tree-lined country path at the edge of a flowering meadow. How are we feeling? A sense of calm, sheltered under the dappled shade by ancient trees, on a journey to a clearing in the distance, with sky, vistas, gentle breezes flowing over grasses and flowers. Do you feel a sense of peace? Next slide, please. Next, come with me to a wooded, deeply shaded dell with narrow fern-covered paths leading downhill to a small, dark, quiet pool of water. Nearby, an ancient stone ruin overlooks the scene. Next slide, please. What do you feel? A sense of mystery, foreboding, specialness, discovery, perhaps. Finally, let's hike to the edge of a high granite cliff. Next slide. From here, we have long views to other rocky precipices, and we see a frothing, churning sea below. Next slide. Breathing deeply, you gaze across the water and pause. How would you describe your feelings? Many a time, I felt a sense of grandeur of God's creation, a sense of awe, and a quiet understanding of our unique place set amidst an unsettling but inspired creation. I took you on this journey because during the 19th century Romantic movement, a vocabulary developed that placed our aesthetic experience of landscape as places that were either pastoral, that tree-lined country path I showed you earlier, the picturesque, the wooded dell, or finally the sublime, the rocky coastal precipice. These labels are helpful when we think about our emotional experiences in these kinds of places. The Hudson River School of Paintings offer many fine examples of this, which we can experience at the MFA. Classical Chinese painting has similar references where you see long scrolls of incredible landscapes with a scholar sitting below these incredible pieces, and those are also at the MFA. For me, it is these experiences of landscape that affirm my belief in a higher power, a greater good that imbues all of us in God's creation and compels us to be stewards of these gifts and to love one another and cherish the grandeur before us. So, sacred spaces, both physical and in our imagination, are like reservoirs of beauty, hope, and God's love that we can call on in times of need and uncertainty as we face the challenges of this gift